Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 79, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply. When thou didst hide thy face, sore troubled then was I. To thee I cried, O Lord. To thee I made my supplicating plea. And what follows, 79, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The scripture reading is out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We go from verse 1 through 15. But first we read the 12 articles of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1 through 15. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and the time to cast away, the time to rent, and the time to sue, the time to keep silence, and the time to speak, the time to love, and the time to hate, the time of war, and the time of peace. What profit had he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He had made everything beautiful in his time. Also he had set a world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that man should fear before him. That which had been is now, and that which is to be had already been. And God required that which is past, thus far the reading of the Scriptures. Let us now try to ask for the Lord's blessing and prayer. Most holy, long-suffering, faithful, and merciful God in heaven, at the evening hour of this thy holy Sabbath day, there is another opportunity given unto us to be gathered together at the place of worship, calling upon thy holy name, beseeching thee, thy nearness, thy help, thy guidance, thy instruction, thy work in our hearts, for the first time or by renewal, as we are on our way to meet thee. And Lord, that is not always when we become old. That has been also in the years that are behind us, also in the congregation here, that young lives were taken away. We command unto thee their relations, but also many went away of all flesh since the congregation was instituted, and that also will never stop. Once it will also be our time that we have to exchange time for eternity, and that we have to appear before thee, the living God. Oh, that it may please thee to prepare us by the work of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, that we may learn what the truth is, what it means unto us personal, death in Adam, but also life in Christ. Many times thou hast given to preach that message at this place. From the first time that the church as congregation was instituted, the time before, when it was still a part of the Lethbridge congregation, they have received their own minister twice. Many of thy servants and students has also preached among them. And now in a number of weeks, they hope to receive again their own shepherd and teacher. In thy providence, Lord, and then we beseech thee that he may labor here with thy help to thy honor and to the eternal welfare of the souls which will be entrusted unto him. O grant him the opening of the Scriptures and surround him with the Aarons and the Hurs, them who seek access to thy throne, for all the ministers and the students, for the elders and the deacons. Wilt thou grant that the congregation may stay with that doctrine, wherein thou art glorified to the highest, a man abased to the lowest, that he may have among them hungry and thirsty souls, people who don't know the way, and who have the bad experience that they forfeited every hour of the day and the night, that they learn, which is more than to speak about it, without me ye can do nothing. Decorate them with their true dependency upon thee, that are the most healthy congregations and consistories, not only to talk that way, but to live that way. And then thou knowest it for each one individual, and we will know it also, it be here or in eternity. But then it is too late to change. And therefore, Lord, visit us. Remember the families, the married ones. Give unity and humility and a strong tie of love. The blessing of thy instruction in their heart, the blessing of children and of obedient children. Let them never be obstinate against their own parents, which grieve so much. Remember to that end the youth when they receive the instruction, now still by the elders, but also if thou wilt bring it that far by the new minister. And then we need so very much the application by the Holy Spirit. All what we do, official and instrumental, is awaiting for thy blessing. Will thou bless each one in business, in family life, in school life? Remember our teachers and school board. Remember the brothers, elders, and deacons to receive their new minister. Give all what is necessary to be with him, to assist him when that is required. And grant, Lord, when he may become installed, that he may preach that full counsel of thee, and that it may be observable that it is not only from the head, but deeper down from the heart, which is so essential and so necessary in our labors. That gives the love, the warmth, the connection, the unity. It is from thee. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. We read it so clear in Acts 2 and later, that they were of one heart and of one soul. That great blessing in thy visible church, will thou remember us tonight? Will thou open the scriptures? We command to many widows who became widow in the years behind, the widowers as well, the empty places, but also when they stood at the graveside of children. Oh, remember, Lord, that empty places as well. Will thou give to our boys and girls also the respect and the required obedience to the new minister, that they may honor him and that he may serve them too. Wilt thou so remember in the classes, also this week, when an installation, an inaugural will take place, help also that brother on that age, and still a new congregation, give traveling mercies who want to attend. Remember our own people in Michigan. Wilt thou be with them as well? We commend also the school, school board and all the teachers and all the pupils. Wilt thou spare them also on the dangerous roads and give in the classrooms that they may speak to their young hearts. We commend also the manor, the older members listening, who were also earlier days in the office. We command them to be in the climbing of the years, also when there are empty places among them. Wilt thou also remember the staff and all who labor to comfort them and to help them. We command committees, all that is done, that the things in church and school may go well. Grant, Lord, also to the denomination, that we may stay with the true doctrine. Also, when the curatorium will have the meeting, give ears to listen and hearts to observe, and grant from time to time new ones called by thee, who are given by thee to serve the congregations. Wilt thou remember us this evening? Take away the seals of thy word. Grant Aaron's and the hearse. May we receive, as thou hast given it many times, again that light from above, and that we may fall away all the official shortcomings, also in serving at this place. Wilt thou forgive it us, and wilt thou grant also in the new time that that tie of love may remain. And although there is then a distance and a new minister, but that we may lay them before thee in our inner chamber, hear us and gladden us tonight by thy nearness, in the forgiveness of our sins, and that all for him who is at the right hand of thee, the Father, who has fulfilled all the degrees of exaltation except one, the last one, that is that he shall come. And then all the things will be revealed, also the blessings upon the labors, Lord. Oh, what will that be, as it is not every day that we can believe that it is thy word, but then we will see it. And then it says, as thou knowest that thy labors will not be idle in the Lord. We may acknowledge thee tonight for the many times that thou brought us among them, and that thou hast given the opening of the scriptures and the access unto thee in prayer. Wilt thou remember them then also in the unknown future? Give that love and unity and humility. Bless also the labors of each one, the farmers, all what is in the land, every season again. Make it all possible with all the concerns of it, and each one in his or her occupation, that he may experience thy blessing and deserve it. And then also again the empty places, as they stood at gravesides of young fathers or young mothers. Oh, remember also the motherless and the fatherless families Wilt thou dwell among them as well? Hear us, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Let us continue by singing Psalter number 202, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3, in doubt and temptation. I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel. Through life thou wilt guide. And afterward make me in glory abide. Of number 202, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And in the meantime, your offering will be received.
Thank you.
meditation before we go to the text, I think it is fit that I say a few words, as this is before the installation of your new minister, Reverend Adams, the last time that we hope to preach tonight in your congregation. The first time when I read about Pixie Butte, that was in 1996, when I got a calling letter of Lethbridge, and I told you that more often, I think, one handwritten line in that letter, that they were busy with a new church in Pixie Butte. It took a long time before we had the papers, but then in the beginning of 97, we were able to come with 9 children to Lethbridge. And then we had the beginning of your congregation too. The purchase of the land here, the many, many meetings, and slowly on, we came to the day that we had the first sermon on a Sunday morning in this new church. And when I saw then the people, then I thought it will be empty in Lethbridge. And when they at that morning saw in their church, the old church at the 7th Street, they thought it will be still empty in Pixie Butte. But that both sides were people. Then for a number of months, maybe even longer than a year, every third sermon was for here. Then we came to the day of installation, and it says in the French language, l'histoire se répète. The history repeats itself, because soon you hope to have that in Noblefort again, that there is a free voting. That is only where you have no candidates. And when I told you that more often, calling Reverend Honkoop, the late Reverend Honkoop, asking what is that, the free voting? He says, boy, I never had it in my whole life. But then you can choose the elders and the deacons out of all the male members who are allowed to vote, free voting. That evening we got 3 office bearers, of whom one went already the way of all flesh. And then slowly on, later we had another male members meeting, we got more office bearers, and then also in that time the new church, and from that time we had to serve, but did not take that long, or the Lord gave you a Reverend Basin. Twice he was your minister. My first work in Grand Rapids, that was to sit at his bedside in the Spectrum Hospital every day till he died. And he's also buried in Grand Rapids. He has done much labors among you. And how soon, congregation, boys and girls, you hope to have your new minister. I hope that the Lord will help him in preaching and visiting. We remember the day when he was accepted on the curatorium, where Reverend Spaz was the chairman, and we sat there as clerk. We remember his 4 years of study, and then also going to his first congregation, and how soon the second one. I also want to use this opportunity to thank the brothers of the consistory that often you ask me to come. As you knew, there was a kind of a little bit of special time. And, yeah, brothers, we may say the Lord has often given also his help in speaking, in prayer. Now we hope also with your new minister that you may receive the wisdom to deal with one another and that he may be an instrument in the Lord's hands also to serve in the consistory, also with your families. And then, of course, nobody knows the future. That is only the Lord who knows it, but congregation. When we had to begin also the catechism class, I remember that as the day of yesterday when we were in the basement. I still see that girls in front of me who are now mothers too and fathers. How it was all new, but the word of the Lord that comes to you. And my dear hearer, the elderly ones too, also the widows of the former office bearers, we shall have to give an account of all the labors that is done among you by the ministers, by the elders, the deacons. You may ask the Lord also for the new minister, that he may be a tool in his hands, because when I tell you this, it is as the day of yesterday, but we speak about 97 and 98 as more than 20 years ago. That's a fifth part of 100 years. How fast is time going? And, yeah, Pixie Butte. Dear people, was there already a seed of that word planted in your heart, children? The things that I tell you now, that you was even not yet born, when you were 15, 16, 17. But now you are also young and in this congregation, oh my hearers, were the sermons preached by ministers or read by elders that they were used. About myself, I don't know if I ever told you it. But the Lord stopped me under a reading sermon of Smijteheld. That was in 1972 in Rotterdam on a Sunday morning. And that elder who was reading that sermon, he became my spiritual father. I got the arrow in my heart. I can say how late it was on the clock. And I start crying. And I look left and right if they were crying too. But they just look straight forward. And as a finger pointed to me, it is you. It is you. And then I came home. And my wife did not go to church. And I was crying. She says in Dutch, "What do you now toch? What are you now doing?" And then I said, "I know one thing. That I need to become converted, otherwise I am lost." And we lived in Rotterdam in that time on a little living boat. And I walked through that living room, small living room, to our sleeping room, and I may believe, congregation, there for the first time in my life, that I got prayer to pray to the Lord, and to confess him my sins. And since that time, because I did not go every Sunday to church, but once in a while, but since that time, oh, I never missed one sermon, also not in the week. And then an elder in Rotterdam, IJsselmonde. And then in 1985, I got the attest for the curatorium. And it was on a Tuesday morning. The Monday they had accepted two. And then I was the first, the letter L, on the Tuesday morning. And Reverend A.F. Honkoop, who often came to preach in IJsselmonde, I knew him as an elder very well. But then he sat in front of me as the chairman of the curatorium. He says, we want to hear two things, and you have for every two things 10 minutes. Tell how the Lord came in your life, and tell why do you think to become a minister. And that morning, when we left our home, which was often our custom to bow with the children our knees, and then we sing a psalm of 84, Welzalig hij die al zijn kracht en hulp alleen van u verwacht. Blessed is he who expect his power from thee, the Lord. And I had to open my mouth. And the Lord gave me to speak to that curatorium about my conversion and the way how the Lord called me to become a minister. And I had one desire that morning when I left my home, that I say, Lord, it is not so much about the outcome, but when I speak, wilt thou be in it? And he says, you can go down. We call you when we need you. And I came down in that big house on the Boezem Single, that's in Rotterdam. That was the old parsonage of Reverend Kirsten. And I didn't take a seat, but I stood at the table where were all church magazines, and I read standing the name Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, thou was with me. I felt that here. And right away the door went open. And Reverend Moerenkerke says, you have to come upstairs again. And then Reverend Hokop in front of you, he says, we have listened to you. And as curatorium, we have decided that you may start the beginning of the lessons 4 years in a row. And then, in 1989, I was eligible. That were 37 calling letters. And there were two from Canada, one from Hamilton, and one from Lethbridge. And it was, there's a whole stack of letters. But a week later, three of that number stayed on the top. That was Middleborough Centrum, Lethbridge, and Barneveld. And that Barneveld, when I opened that book, that was 1,500 and 1,600, so more than 3,000 members. And oh, it was so impossible. But I felt that I was trying to escape that. And every time I opened that church yearbook, and as if a voice spoke to me that I had to open the Bible, which I did with Romans 15. That it says, Christ has not pleased himself. But like it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. And then I saw that I had to go to that large congregation, not in pleasing myself, but doing the Lord's will. And he inclined my heart. And we could accept that call, were installed by Reverend De Heer. And then, after several calls from here, we had to accept the call in 1996. Took a number of months for the papers. But then, as you remember, we came in 97. And then in that time, in that calling letter, as I mentioned that, was already the name Pixabute. And in that respect, I have seen you always. as belonging to Ledbridge. Now you were, of course, on yourself, but that was just a part of my congregation. How many times that we made that short trip from the parsonage at the 7th Street to here. And you know how it all went. You do not know the future. Nobody knows than only God. But there is my hearty wish, consistory and congregation, that you may stay together and that you may stay with that doctrine wherein the Lord is glorified to the highest, a man abased to the lowest, and that ye have here a minister on the pulpit who need the Lord's help. And if that is really true, he shall receive help. Really. It says so nice in one of the Psalms, he hears the needy when they cry, but boys and girls and fathers and mothers and grandparents and widows and single ones and all who are listening also in Bethesda, that you may also know that need. And what is that need? That you have to die. Oh, you are on your way to eternity. This can even be for me or you the last time in a church and to meet God. When you meet in business someone, told you that more often, and maybe a big order is involved, and you try to prepare yourself that you do not come with the wrong questions or statements. How do you think that you have to be prepared to meet God? In the first place, to be here. Where is the rest of Alberta and Canada and the U.S. on this day? You know that too. They also have to meet God. But this is the place where he will do his work. He works instrumentally. And often we made a trip, let me speak tribute, to hear. It was as the Rocky Mountains, such an objection. I don't know how to preach. And the way back, sometimes singing in my car, that faithful God, there does not go honor to me, nor to you, but only to him, congregation. And it's my hearty wish that also your new minister, us, is standing here helpless and dependent. And that you shall pray for him. And you shall, that shall return to you by the sound explanation of the Bible. That's what I have to do tonight too. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 5. And then the last part, congregation. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And then the last part of verse 5. There we read, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. These words. Solomon's instruction regarding the season for everything. This is our theme. Solomon's instruction regarding the season for everything. Let us notice this. In the season of embracing. So Solomon's instruction regarding the season for everything. Let us notice this in the season of embracing. And then that embracing in a threefold way. Family-wise, church-wise, and spiritual-wise. So my 3 points about that season of embracing. We want to see that family-wise. That is, embracing husband, wife. Not widow, not widower. There is a time to embrace. And a time to refrain from embracing. You cannot embrace your husband when he is in the grave or the wife. Family-wise, church-wise, also the time of embracing when you accept the call. Then you embrace that congregation and you don't know them. But your heart is inclined to go, and your farewell is the other part of the text. Then it says, a time to refrain from embracing. Spiritual-wise, the third point, what do you now embrace when the Lord comes in your life? Did that happen already? If I would say it in plain Dutch, ben je al tot God bekeerd? Are you already converted to God? Then he embraces you. Yeah. But then when it says, a time to refrain from embracing, when God's children are going against the Lord, then he leaves them over to themselves, not forever. David, spiritual-wise, had a bad, bad time when he was living in adultery with that Bathsheba. It makes a distinction and a distance when they, even God's children, can fall in sin, can even live in sin. And then, my hearers, there is still religion, but a cold one. There is no warmth in it. All in a marriage, the marriage one, they know that. To love one another, that has to do with the feelings of your heart. You cannot love with your understanding. Your heart need to be involved, your affections. And if it is just by my mouth to embrace, that's not the true embracing. In every congregation, we had once in a while the difficulties in marriage life. Consistently, they know that too. And you listen to both sides. And often I thought, if there was now still a little bit of love left, then it would not be so difficult. But it is just not there. The time to refrain from embracing. So these three points. First, then family-wise. Solomon's instruction regarding the season for everything. And at chapter 3, that speaks about many contradictions. A number of verses. Also our text. Also the second part of that verse 5. He was, we know, congregation, the third king of the realm and the last one, boys and girls, when they were still as 12 tribes together. He was a son of David. He was extremely wealthy and much blessed by the Lord. He was also as a poet, because you don't have that in our Bible, but in the Hebrew Bible, it is one long poem. You lose that when you translate. You still see it a little bit, but in the Hebrew Bible, it is really a poem inspired by the Holy Spirit. As a king and a prophet, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Solomon. I had once a man in business, not religious. But he says, I have a Bible. I say, do you read? Yeah, I say, sometimes I read. Say, what do you read? He says, I like the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And that is understandable, because they are not that doctrinal as the letters of Paul. Of course, you need to read the whole Bible. But these books, written There is the wisdom in it from the Eastern people. We are Western people. They have a more mysterious way of thinking and acting and writing. It was that wisdom that the Lord gave to Solomon, and boys and girls, was that not his own request? Could he not make a choice that the Lord would also give him a lot of, we would say, a lot of gold, a lot of money? He would make him very wealthy, but that was not his choice. No, no. He was asking for wisdom. And not to be something, but to use that wisdom in the right way, to the honor of God and the welfare of souls. Well, that's why we have also Ecclesiastes and also the Proverbs. When it says a time in verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. You cannot mix that up. It is or to be born or to die. There is time in between, sometimes not much. Then it goes on. Till we have that verse 5, a time to embrace. Family-wise. Are you married? Yes, I am. Do you still embrace one another? What a question. What do you think? Yeah. I repeat my question. Because there are marriages that embracing is gone. There is a distance between husband and wife and a very cold climate. They had a time of embracing. What made now the change? And the Bible says, a time to embrace. How long do you have one another, married ones? Nobody can answer that question. Shall you never leave your house husband? Or you say a good, lovely farewell to her? Because it can be the last time. To embrace. And what do we embrace? Yeah, today. And understand me well. When there happens something, calamity, disaster, they embrace one another. In the street, strange people, not knowing one another. Yeah, that's the way how they digest it. Are we doing that? No. No, there's more the world. That seems to be very close, but is actually very superficial. Or candles. What is that now? What helps that now? It's the emptiness of the world. They need to digest it too. I often say, and said, catechism class, you can remember that. We have the age of 12, 16, and even younger. There happens something, a calamity, a disaster. And say, boys, girls, you are capable to digest this better than the world. Why? Because you hear about sin and the consequences of sin. The world does not even want to hear the word sin. They have a false, optimistic view of the world. And in that optimistic view is no room for any disappointment or any calamity. It is worthwhile to investigate how do we digest also the difficult things in life. We have to do that in a biblical way. That means you are not cold or hard, that you do not have any feeling, but your way of reacting is different because you, belonging to the church and your school life, you know that the consequences of sin, that is death, that doesn't fit in the world. Oh no. They want to live. Yeah, everybody wants to live, but we know that our life, our sins, our shortcomings, the Lord has the full right to come to us and to punish us. So when we say family-wise, the time to embrace, is there also embracing of brothers and sisters? Or do we have the situation that you never meet one another for some reason? Then is fitting the second part, a time to refrain from them. Yeah, but why? Why do you refrain? Yeah, he, she, no, maybe you. Maybe you. Maybe you are a door too far. So, family-wise, the time you have the bond of blood, and is that bond not in exercise, will you then please find out what's the reason of it? Not tomorrow. Could be too late. The Bible says, a time to embrace. You have the English word to hug. Time to embrace. And a time to refrain from embracing. They were hard to you. They were even mean to you. In any place that hurts. That is not easy now to embrace. That makes a distance. Children, when you give a big mouth to your parents, then they cannot embrace you. And they shall not do it either. First, that need to be solved. Congregation, may I still ask that question in your midst? As in the time when I was your minister, are there cases that cause the refraining of embracing? Shall you not push them to the sideline, but try to get to the surface and visit one another, say, listen, is there now not one possibility to solve this? I'm your brother. You are my child. You are my cousin. Family-wise. What is it important as church people, as confessing members, that we have not a gap here or there to a brother or a sister or whatever relation that is? And that from your side, there are sincere efforts to come to that embracing. And as I did already, I would apply it first to the marriage state. But, not only in that relation, there are also situations that you cannot embrace. Or developments. You can have in a consistency that a few members say, you know, we have to go that way. No, we don't. We don't. Why not? And you bring your arguments. And they are more or less despised or neglected. That makes a distance. That is causing a gap that refrains from embracing. Is there something? Yeah. And you know what? You know what? My second point was church-wise. Oh, congregation, what is it important in consistories that you can deal with one another? Always give each one the opportunity that he is allowed to speak. You have to feel in a way when there is someone who does not say that much that you need to know why. I heard that years ago in Barneveld of the older ones, as we had so many funerals there. I often, this week was a little bit very eventful for us too. As the doctor thought that it was malignant in my body, but at the end of the day or the next day it was different, so it was not easy. But then, in that time of Barneveld, there's always a call to the parsonage. I got that message. So then you go, try to go, and then to meet one another. And then it is not so easy to find the right words. No. And yet, they are members of your church, and they do not call you for nothing. What is it then always necessary that we stay with the Bible? And that was often my question. Was there ever a time in your life when you was concerned? Yes. And when that were men of 60, 70 years old, they did not know that of one another. But I heard often when I was young and when Freya was our minister. Then they had impressions. Reverend Freya and the late Reverend Kirsten, young people, that were the two pillars of our denomination. The family gave me the correspondence from Kirsten to Freya in a difficult time in the years 45 till 48. When Kirsten died, Freya died in 49. And when these two could not embrace, and there were times they could not, then they both could not live either. And they had to meet again, till it was solved. If you have your consistory, and you have your meetings, you have to watch if each one is involved. And that minister, he had a deacon, and they had to also, in every consistory meeting, have always difficult things to decide. And he always kept silence. But then Freya says, I have not yet heard your opinion. And there were elders at both his sides that were pillars in the church. They were reconciled with the triune God. And that deacon could not say that. But when they had talked a long time about the subject and there was no solution and he opened his mouth, he came often with the solution. What is it necessary in your office that there is unity? Church-wise, time of embracing. And if you read the correspondence, That was in a difficult time for the gereformeerde gemeente. That was the time of Reverend Kok. And I have never heard anybody who said that that was an unconverted minister. I gave you one example of that man, also for the young people. There was in Veenendaal that they picked all the young people from the street to go to Germany. And Kok was on his bicycle in the town to visit people. They say, Reverend, all the young men are at the railroad and need to go into the train. He says, what? And right away he drove to that spot. And there were 400 or 500 young people of all churches ready to go into the train. He says to that German officer, may I address them? You may. And they made a little scaffold for him that he stood upon it. And he spoke to that boys in such a lovely way that many were crying. And then he turned himself to that German officer. What are you doing here in the Netherlands? And so on. He gave him, so to speak, the full load. They thought he has to go in the train too. They did not even touch him. Oh, dear hearers, when we say church-wise, and that was, there's much correspondence about it, that has been a very difficult time for the gereformeerde gemeente. Finally, he left. He became old. Where Reverend Lemay was in the Netherlands, he always visited him, but the breach was never healed. Then there is no time for embracing. Soon you got 1953. We have here people who were in it. That was a split. And a difficult one because the Lord had his servants and people at both sides. And they who were so close at once, that split, that made the distance. Now they are above it, but not then. There was now no time more for embracing. He was also a split in North America, 1992-1993. We have the situation in Grand Rapids that we have the school together. Once in a while we meet one another. And I say that now in public. I said what I want to say. And it is workable, but difficult. It was before my time. You need the wisdom of a Solomon, the patience of a Job, and the meekness of James. Three things. And then, even we had a meeting with the two consistories, which was 25 years ago. Just to see one another, talk a little bit. Not embracing yet, but maybe it will go a little bit further that way. Step by step, church-wise. When there is something between the members. Are you the news that everybody knows it? Then I'm not so jealous upon your position. You better bow your knees that you can join them together as members of one house. Because if there is a kind of a split internal, then the Holy Spirit withdraw himself. That's not his climate to sow. That grieves the Holy Spirit. So as members, embracing one another is so vital, church-wise, office bearers. Are you never wrong? Did you never have the situation to apologize? Yeah, that's to cut in your own flesh. That's true. But is the case not worthwhile to do it? Or do you want to maintain that self? That miserable self? Yeah, that's now my nature. Solomon, eh? That was a rich king, yeah. Material wise, he had gold, but he had other gold too. He had insight into man. He was a wise type of Christ. And what is it nice, church wise, if you can embrace? There are examples in the past. In certain cases that they found one another again. A congregation that always goes to the way of humiliation and not to take anything away of the truth. No. But the characters can be so involved. And that necessary humiliation, church-wise, and yet on the other hand, there are situations that we need to stay where we are. There is also a false peace that doesn't work either. Time to refrain from embracing. If it is about the truth, you say, if you don't cooperate and you give your own explanation of the truth, then you make a distance, and that cannot be healed as long as you stay with that wrong explanation. They say often, why do you have so many churches? They're so unbelievable. And as far as we can see, Summit is so close by, and yet there is distance. And it is not easy to explain, but at least take care that you know the history, that you know the facts. When it is written down, or talk to people who were in it. And yet, my hearers, Solomon's instruction regarding the season for everything, let us notice this in the season of embracing family-wise, church-wise, then there need to be a desire to have them with you, with whom you are really one. So unity. And then it is true. Then it is split up in many pieces. That is true. In Acts 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, you read about one spirit and one doctrine. But also in Acts already, there came even between Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas was introducing Paul into the circle of the disciples. And it was about, well, will we take Marcus with us, yes or no? As Meitengeld says, that Paul was more on his place than Barnabas, because Paul was true that he says he was not so serviceable to us the last time, and there came a bitterness. And the Bible says that has not been solved here at this side between Paul and Barnabas. Two men of God. So the embracing church-wise. What is that sometimes difficult? Yeah, but you can do two things. Yeah, you can say that is the situation. No, you have always that you try to work on it with the talents that the Lord has given you. He shall not ask you in the first place how far did you come, but did you work on it? Let us sing because of the time. 357. When Zion, in her lowest state, was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1-4 of number 357. That last point, congregation, spiritual wise, it says a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. When you have the situation, and that happens more than we like, that children come home and a boy or a girlfriend of an other religion, that makes right away a difficult situation. And if they do not listen to the parents, that makes a distance. And that brings in the time to refrain from embracing. They say, do you not love me anymore? Yeah, I do, but this makes a distance. If you do not disconnect or improve or do something else. So in that respect, there is the desire to embrace, but you cannot tolerate something which is against the scripture or the conflict. And when it says a time to refrain from embracing, there is so much young people that your heart likes to embrace it, but church-wise, and that is also to my third point, spiritual-wise, you know very well, I may not embrace this. How much do you embrace in your world of your electronic devices, of which your conscience tells you time and again that that is not allowed? So when I say spiritual-wise, that is also about your relation to the Lord. All what is sin and sinful, also doctrine-wise, that we are not allowed to embrace this, that's bring the people on a narrow way. And the church, Israel in the time of Solomon, was the most wealthy country on earth. The Lord has given their third king so many gifts. But dear hearers, if this was his truth, and it was because that is written by Solomon, and the Bible says that thousands of proverbs are even not in our possession, but written by him too. But we have enough, of course. This is our Bible. Then we say spiritual wise, I first have to embrace the truth. When are you doing that? Think here, boys and girls, about your confession of faith. Is your answer yes? The parents of this morning, spiritual-wise, they embraced again the doctrine with their answer yes. And they have embraced also the duty to bring that child up in that foresaid doctrine that is as an oath. So when it says a time to embrace, but then a time to refrain from embracing, what is then the cause of that refraining? It is very, the truth does not change, but you can change. And in that respect, we need to find out when there are distances, where lays the fault? Is that at my side or at the other side? The time to refrain from embracing. I cannot embrace a wrong doctrine. I may not and I will not. So spiritual wise, husband and wife, do you go in the same way? Do you believe the same doctrine? And I hope that it is not true. When you have in a marriage that he or she is going astray doctrine-wise, that calls to refrain from embracing. And that lays, of course, spiritual-wise, that is about religion and also about your feelings. When you once stood here or wherever that was, your answer, yes, was upon the same doctrine. And what is it hard, even when a family disconnects of the church? Then they cannot embrace you anymore. It is with pain, because they know that you go the wrong way. You are warned. But that cause right away, that makes a distance. First you was embraced by them in all the labors that they did, from office bearers to the members. And then comes that change, with all the bitter feelings of it and the pain, the time to refrain from embracing. And then they say, ah, they are not so nice to us. No. Why? Do you say that too? You did leave. They didn't leave. They have to watch. They have to take care for the church. If you disconnect, then don't lay it at their side. Spiritual-wise, my hearers, what is it then a narrow way that we have to go? And a time to refrain from embracing, boys and girls. How much is coming to you that you are not allowed to embrace church-wise, spiritual-wise? And do you not here have at the inside that deputy of God, that conscience? Are you then also refraining from embracing? That's your duty, eh? And in this time is that difficult, I know. But there is always one who is willing to help you to stand firm. And if you want to have profit of your doctrine, then live that doctrine. And that doctrine will assist you in all the circumstances of this life. We always say to the catechism classes, wherever that is, you have the best papers. We have the true doctrine. And now is the question, now is this I close. Do we have that also? Is that doctrine now also in your heart? Do you know what it is to have the profit of your doctrine? What is actually my doctrine? That is the way back to God. That is His work in the hearts of His people. And then He wants to have them congregation. Then He wants to have them so close by. There cannot be a distance between the Lord and His people. When they go astray, then often they make the distance. And then they miss that embracing of Him. Oh, think here about marriage. Your love is so tender that one mistake in that field that can have the consequence for the rest of your life. Even when you forgive it one another. What is that a very tender thing to realize? The love from husband to wife. Parents, children. Children, parents. Brothers, sisters. Consistory. And as long as we may stay with that truth, then you shall have also the bitter and painful experiences that sometimes in your own flesh and blood you will see the development of the wrong doctrine. And my hearers, we said that that makes a distance. And that is painful. There are here parents. They have on this day always the pain knowing that the children are not with them anymore, church-wise. And when we come somewhere, all new in a new congregation, of course, and you ask about it, how many children do you have? Write that down. Where do they go to church? And the way how they tell it to you is an indication how they feel that themselves. If that is told to you a little bit in a cold way, or you feel the hurt and the hardship of it, that they carry that with them as a cross, that says something of the parents themselves, as members. Oh, they say, I still see them. And they come. But there is a gap. And that is, you all know, not you all, but many know what that means. That is hard. Boys and girls, shall you stay where the Lord has brought you? You was born here, most of you. This is your church. Dear children, it is nice if you have a boy or a girlfriend. But that is not the same as having the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto it. There are sometimes relations to another religion or the world. We say, nice people, and indeed, maybe examples for us, but one objection. They don't have the truth. But that's not the most important. Yeah, that's the most important. The doctrine. Oh, I hope, parents of this morning, that it may have roots in your heart. And boys and girls, you are not too young to know the Lord, and with Him, children, He can provide so very well in what you need for all your needs. Lay all your questions before the Lord. Tell it Him. He's an omniscient, an omnipresent, an omnipotent God. And that is your bringing up. You shall once have to meet Him. We all have to go the way of all flesh. Congregation, with this I have to close. How is it between you and the Lord? Many messages the Lord gave me to bring to you. It is rarely that I left this pulpit without opening. He always helped me to preach, but that word lays there also for your responsibility and for your account, consistory too. You shall have to give an account to the Lord. What have you done with it? Not only my preaching, but also all the other ministers and students and the elders, what they read, what their responsibility. Dear hearers, it is still the time of grace. What hinders you to come home and to seek a solitary place where you may speak to the Lord? You may do that 24 hours a day. And to ask Him light from above. We speak about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, we had that member. Yeah. She says, I know the Father and the Son and the Spirit better as I know you as a new minister. And it was true. Church of God, how far is that with you? Is the development in the knowledge of the three persons? There's a major thing. There's a basis doctrine. Oh, you will be with them, eh? When you are truly converted, and when the Lord brought you to an end, that there Christ revealed Himself, that is, to bring you back to the Father. Has that taken place already? Do we know something of that heart of the Father? Do we know the distinguishment between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? That are basis truths, that are the essential things of spiritual life. Ah, dear hearers, the knowledge of the three persons, that's the most precious in our doctrine. And not only the knowledge to them, but also His knowledge to you, that He knows you through and through. It says in Dutch, hij weet waarvan zijn maaksel zij te wachten. He know what he can expect of his own making. Who can tell, or this is the last time that you hear it, or that I preach it, and then it becomes eternity, and that is reality. Often he gave the message to bring to you, not only by me, but by many others, and I hope that he grant that to your new minister too. Pray for him. And do your best to go through all the books that are available. There is so much written in the English language. And that office is never closed. That is open 24 hours a day. And people of the Lord, were the servants that it has comforted you. That is not because of me, but because the Lord was willing to use it. Oh, it was with so many shortcomings. But we are on our way to a place where is nothing missed, where are no shortcomings. There is a triune God and all that people who are delivered. Amen. Lord, because of the time, we have to finish. But we will never be done in preaching thy word. We acknowledge thee for all the help that thou hast given in the more than 20 years which are behind us. Wilt thou take care for the congregation and the consistory. And the new minister, wilt thou dwell among them with thy word and spirit. Keep the youth under the truth and the doctrine and the authority of their parents. Let them not go astray to other churches. It will bring a lot of misery over us. Wilt thou help the elders and the deacons, that they visit the people, and that they shall not have to talk about an unknown Christ, but one whom they may know. And then they will say, I know not much, but what I know, I do not want to exchange that for anything. Oh, remember them, Lord, and give a spirit of humiliation, and unity, and give them also to deal with the new minister in a wisely way, in a decent and a biblical way. That's also their responsibility. Remember him too, and he has to say farewell and to come to this place. Remember all them who are lonely, all the handicapped ones, all the widows, all the widowers, the children, if anything is forgotten, wilt thou not forget it and bring us safely home. And remember us in the new week also, traveling to that installation with our dear wife and some others too. Help also that minister, hear us, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 428, the stanzas. Well, because of the time we take only the last verse 8, thy word is the collection. Is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. 8 of 428. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.